It was September of 1908 when a forest fire threatened much of northeastern Minnesota and far northern Wisconsin. It had been a hot, dry summer, and as the forest fire grew in size, much of Cook County was in its path. Grand Marais and other small towns along the shore of Lake Superior offered no easy escape route except by boat, and residents who lived inland faced even greater challenges in trying to evacuate. Three ships helped pick up the refugees from the growing forest fire, the Gopher, the America, and the Easton. While the America and the Easton routinely served the area, the USS Gopher was an aging Navy gunboat that was normally stationed in Duluth. But as news traveled of the forest fire along the North Shore, the Gopher and its crew of 81 men were dispatched to help with rescue and assist with firefighting. The local newspaper, the Cook County News Herald, gave the following report.
The Gopher arrived in Grand Marais, and after letting off a few men to assist there, the boat moved on to Hovland and en route picked up the Jacob Peterson family and Adolf Carlson. The flames on three sides of them were crowding them close to the water. After picking up the Petersons and Mr. Carlson, the Gopher went on to Chicago Bay and took on board 32 women and children and brought them to Grand Marais, where a number of the injured entered the hospital at once. The men were left behind to battle with the flames and have succeeded thus far in saving the little village of Hovland. Several of the settlers were burned out.
As the fire grew in size, it began to threaten Grand Marais and Chippewa City. The September 8th edition of the Duluth Evening Herald newspaper provided a dramatic account of the forest fire's progress.
The fire has now been raging for the week past, carrying death and destruction with it, and is now at its height and almost beyond control. Tuesday, the fire was within two blocks of Grand Marais. Everyone was out fighting the fire, and it seems as though the little village is doomed and residents are rapidly losing heart. The nervous strain has been terrible, and it is no uncommon thing for the exhausted men fighting the fires to fall amid the burning timbers and have to be carried to places of safety by others who are on the constant lookout for them. The excitement is now at a fever heat. Men fight grimly on, seemingly in sort of a daze. And women, wild-eyed and screaming, throng the village streets, while the cries of children mingle with the noises of wild animals. At night, the smoke is so thick when the flames are in the green timber that it is impossible to see but a few feet ahead. At 11 o'clock in the morning, it was almost as dark as night in Grand Marais.
Newly arrived to Grand Marais on the steamer America was W.J. McGladrey, who later became superintendent of Cook County Schools. McGladrey recalled his initial experiences in Grand Marais.
About 3 in the morning of the first night, we were at Grand Marais. An imperative knock came on the door. We were told we must leave immediately and go aboard the government boat, the Gopher. The forest fire was coming from the north and east, urged on by a north wind. The flames were shooting hundreds of feet into the sky, and it looked as though Chippewa City and the town of Grand Marais were doomed.
W.J. McGladrey's family did leave by boat, but he stayed behind to help with firefighting efforts. As alarming reports on the forest fire's progress continued, the September 9, 1908 edition of the Duluth Evening Herald carried a headline stating, Grand Marais is in great danger of being burned and no avenue of escape. The newspaper then went on to devote several pages to somewhat sensational and graphic reporting.
A wall of fire, several miles long, sweeping along at a terrific rate with a crackling and roar that could be heard for miles, spread over and through the buildings at Chippewa City, a mile east of Grand Marais. Refugees from farther inland are arriving burned and exhausted, with packs of their most valuable belongings on their backs, and their families dragging wearily along behind them. The woods are dry as tinder, as there has not been a drop of rain on the North Shore country for 14 weeks. The fire is rushing down upon the town in great bounds. City officials marshaled the terror-stricken citizens of Grand Marais for a meeting and got 40 men to widen the clearing around the town. The smoke is growing so dense as to make breathing difficult, and the citizens fear suffocation before a boat can reach them. Near Lutzen, an unnamed mother with her 6 children huddled on shore, waving a red blanket as a signal to be picked up by ship and taken to safety in Duluth. It is also reported that 3 men had been driven to take refuge in the waters of the lake when picked up by the gopher. The shore is alive with wild animals of all kinds, driven out of the woods by the flames. Deer, bear, rabbits, moose, wolves, and all kinds of wild creatures of the forest are seen in great numbers. They have apparently lost all fear of man in their greater fear of fire.
Though up-to-date news on the forest fire in Cook County was slow to reach Duluth, the News Herald continued to give vivid descriptions of the scene unfolding on the North Shore, along with speculation about the imminent fate of Grand Marais.
It is reported that homesteaders along the North Shore have left their cabins and are sleeping in tents out in the open, close to the lakeshore. If the fire comes before a boat gets there, the fate of the population of the little town is a matter of considerable doubt.
You've been listening to part one of a 2-part feature recalling the events of the 1908 forest fire, which impacted much of Cook County. Newspaper articles and narrative accounts are courtesy of the Cook County Historical Society Archives. This feature was produced by Martha Marnaka and is a production of WTIP, North Shore Community Radio, and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.